One bloody night in Vietnam haunted former Senator Bob Kerry for decades. The story is at the center of his new memoir, When I Was a Young Man. In 1969, Kerry's platoon of Navy SEALs killed at least 14 women and children during a raid on a village. News of the carnage first broke last year, and Kerry landed in the middle of a national debate on U.S. conduct in the Vietnam War. Senator Kerry talked with Steve Paulson about what happened that night.
We were assigned to the SWIP boats, and we had essentially the entire coast to be responsible for, and SEAL team in general, platoons anyway, were engaged in interdicting the enemy, trying to collect intelligence, trying to, in some cases, engage in ambushes, or we would engage in limited offensive efforts. But it was mostly trying to interfere with this infrastructure that the Viet Cong, the National Liberation Front, and the North Vietnamese had built up in South Vietnam. And the hard part was it was built up right in the communities, it was built up right in the towns and the villages and the cities.
There's one night in particular that's generated a lot of media attention, your first firefight that came just 5 weeks after you got to Vietnam. What happened that night?
Well, first, I mean, it is a story I've volunteered to tell. I mean, I've not been forced to tell this. I may disagree with some of the ways it's been represented, but I don't blame any journalist for telling this story because I've made the decision that it's a story that needs to be told. I don't apologize for inadequate memory. I tried to recall as best as I could, and after meeting with my platoon about a year ago, my squad, you know, I think I originally got some of the details wrong. But basically what amounted to, we received information about some men who were operating with Viet Cong, and they were to be in this village in an area that was considered to be hostile territory and controlled by the Viet Cong. Now, we went in that village at night expecting to find these men where we were told they were going to be. And we received fire, and we returned the fire. And the net effect was, all I could tell for certain that night was that we had killed a lot of people that I considered to be innocent. You know, I've heard since then some of my men and some others have said, well, they're in a Viet Cong area. You don't know that they were all innocent. Well, that may be, but they sure looked like it to me. It felt to me then, and it felt to me now, that it was unjustifiable militarily and unjustifiable ethically. And so I walked away from that saying that that I did a terrible thing, not a good thing.
In your book, you say you saw women and children in front of us being hit and cut to pieces.
Mm-hmm. No, that's right. As I said, we took fire and we initiated fire as a consequence of that. But these folks are standing close enough that they were getting hit by us and I presume by whoever it was that was firing on us. But that's the dominant vision that I've got from that evening, is those innocents.
Now, as you know, there's been a lot of controversy about that night because at least one of the men on your SEAL team has a different account of what happened. And he says two old men and three kids were killed with knives when your team first arrived in the village. Apparently, they didn't want any noise. And so to silence them, they were killed. And then later, a dozen women and children were lined up and executed.
Yeah, that is not just a different recollection than what I've got, but a different recollection of most of the guys in the squad, although there's a considerable range of motion of opinion of precisely what happened. We didn't line people up and execute them. No order was given to execute, and there was fire received. I do understand, by the way, why he would have this memory. It's entirely possible for him to think that the fire was initiated as a consequence of an order being given, but it was initiated as a consequence of fire being received.
Is this partly a matter of sort of conflicting memories? It's sort of hard to
happened? Some of it is, although, you know, the end is basically the same. Although, I've got both members of my squad and members of SEAL team and other people that I talk to that say, you know, you're feeling bad about something you shouldn't feel bad about. It happens in a war, and I don't happen to be of that opinion. I think that we've got to do a better job of training our people so that they, you know, so they do everything possible to avoid that situation. I think we did not have the fire discipline that was necessary to avoid it, and as a consequence, there were civilian casualties that could have been avoided.
You're saying what should have happened is if you heard a shot, you shouldn't have automatically returned with a barrage of fire.
That's right. Although, we went into these hutches and these houses where they were living, and there weren't any men in there. And we knew that this was a hot Viet Cong area, and when you don't find men, that isn't, you know, they're not out shopping at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock or whatever time it was at night that we finally reached there. So we knew we were compromised, and we knew we were in trouble, and we were scared to death. And we also knew that the people that were in that village were armed, and that they had taken American casualties before. And so we were quite frightened and quite concerned. And yes, we responded, with, in my view today, more fire than was necessary. But I don't, I'm not without my sympathies for what happened.
You received a bronze medal for what happened that night. Mm-hmm. Do you feel any regret about that?
Yes. I mean, I received the Medal of Honor for action 10 days later, and I don't think I deserve that either. So I love people who wear medals proudly, but I don't personally feel like I deserved any medal other than the Purple Heart, which I was relatively certain I deserved. Beyond that, you know, it's a medal, and I know the system relatively well to know that there's an awful lot of guys that did things that are a lot more heroic than I, and a lot of people who did things that are less heroic than I. Do I feel badly about it? Yes. Not so much I'm going to ship that and other medals back. I'm not going to make a political statement out of it, but I don't feel like that or the Medal of Honor operation, I deserved it.
Let me ask you about your next firefight. I mean, a lot mm-hmm. of this happened in a short amount of time. You went mm-hmm. on another mission, and part of your leg got blown off. What happened then?
Well, you know, it's kind of a test case in, you know, the risks of being cautious about, especially in a guerrilla camp war like this, being cautious about having unnecessary civilian casualties. I mean, we were advised, actually, that we'd be better off going in there and just killing the people who were going into the city of Nha Trang, and they were killing civilians, some military people, but they were basically terrorists in a good cause, they thought, but they were doing some rather nasty and bad things to try to get people to come over to their side, and they had one of the guys had swum off the island and volunteered to take us in, and the advice given to us was that we should not try to capture them, we should try to kill them. And I felt, no doubt based upon the earlier experience, that we should exercise some caution. We should try to capture them. And in a way, it was fortunate I'm the only one that was hurt. I might feel differently about it if we were talking today and you said, well, how do you feel about your corpsman who lost his leg? Fortunately, none of us were killed. I feel fortunate I was the one who was injured, because I was the one that made the judgment that we were going to try to take them prisoner.
And then you had quite a long period of recuperation. I mean, you were sent back home at that point, and there was some question about whether the leg could be saved. It turned out it had to be amputated. And what, you had 9 years or so of surgery on the leg?
Right, till 78. But it was, you know, it was a period of time. If you asked me then, I mean, in fact, even today, if you said, you know, would you rather have learned what you learned in some other way, I'd say yes. But I learned a lot. I learned something that I don't think I had as much as I do today. I may have had some of it, but I do have a much greater capacity for sympathy. That is to say, I can see pain even though I may not feel it myself. And I think it's a good thing. I believe it's a very good thing for human beings to be able to do. So on balance, the injury was a gift. On balance, the change in me that's occurred as a consequence of that injury has been good.
Hmm. You have a very interesting comment in your book about your injury, I mean, about your amputation. You said that it was retribution, punishment, rather than a combat wound from heroic duty.
That's what it felt like at the time.
For what had happened earlier in that other village?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the way I was raised in the. At least that's how my memory is about how I was raised in the Bethany Christian Church. I believed in retribution. You know, I believe that bad deeds could result in bad things happening to you. I don't feel that way today, by the way. But in the moment, I did. And in a certain way, it felt justified.
I had the sense, as I was reading your memoir, that you also had some personal demons to wrestle with once you came home. And you write about how once you actually got back to your home in Nebraska, mm-hmm. where your parents lived, you started having nightmares about what happened to those villagers mm-hmm. back in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. What were those dreams like?
Oh, God, I mean, just basically, you know, I would close my eyes and see red. I'd hear their voices and see them again. I mean, almost always exaggerated, but I'd see them in my dreams.
And you write about how the people in the village in your dreams would shout out, why? Why did you
right.
do this to me?
Mm-hmm. I don't think the question that they're asking is answerable. You know, other than a mechanical lack of fire discipline, horrible mistake sort of thing that doesn't take you anywhere, that tips the scales in a very attractive direction. So it's an unanswerable question in a lot of ways.
Do you still feel guilty about what happened all those years ago?
Yes. Yeah, although it's not really guilt any longer. It's something that I find to be more helpful, and it's remorse. By that I mean I accept responsibility for it. I accept that I did it and that I shouldn't have done it, and I accept the consequences, the horrible consequences. And it allows me to figure out, okay, now what am I going to do? And guilt's more destructive. In fact, guilt is destructive, period, in my view. Especially in the extreme, it can get you to a point where you can't do anything. You choose death. You choose to destroy your life with alcohol, drugs, in some cases, and in more extreme ways. You choose to physically end it. And I think it's a bad choice. And again, I'm sympathetic to why people would make that choice, but I think it's a bad choice. I think it's better to live your life. We are better than the worst things we ever did in our life. And the question is, what are we going to make of it? How are we going to live as good a life as we possibly can? Not how are we going to be able to undo something that we've done that's undoable?
Former Senator Bob Kerry talking with Steve Paulson. Kerry is now president of the New School University in New York. The maelstrom over what happened that night in Vietnam is still not over. The government in Hanoi has officially accused Senator Kerry of war crimes. In response to the accusations, Kerry said, and I'm quoting here, "You got to get beyond it. I'm quite certain the majority of people in Vietnam want to go on with their lives." The title of Senator Kerry's memoir is When I Was a Young Man. The title comes from Eric Bogle's song, and the band played Waltzing Matilda. Here's the end of the song.
And so now, every April, I sit on me porch, and I watch the parade pass before me. And I see my old comrades, how proudly they march, reviving old dreams of past glories. And the old men march slowly, all bones stiff and sore. They're tired old heroes from a forgotten war. And the young people ask, what are they marching for? And I ask myself the same question. But the band plays Waltzing Matilda, and the old men still answer the call. But as year follows year, more old men disappear. Someday no one will march there at all.